in the end on time. And we come to praise the Lord today, amen. I call on each and every soul that come through that door, to come in here with a praise on your lips, amen, some joy in your heart. You know, I didn't want you to come all the way here and just sit here and not say nothing, amen. There's got to be something that has happened, that the Lord has done for you, just make you want to look up and say thank you. You can't say nothing, you want to wave your hand, amen. Oh, hallelujah, come on somebody. We're going to let our choir come on in so we can get started, amen.
How great is our God? Yeah.
Genesis chapter 14, and there, beginning at verse 16, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible, Genesis chapter 14, Genesis, the book of beginnings. When you have it, if you would please stand in reverence to the word. Beginning at verse number 16, we will find these words. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the Chaldeans, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. Verse 18 says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And finally, in that 20th verse, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hands, and he gave him tithes of all. Thus ends the reading of God's most holy and precious word. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. For those of you that were not able to make it last Sunday, we announced that we were going to begin a series of teachings on tithing and offering in the church. And if you were not here, if you have access to the internet, you can go to antiochwaukegan.org, that's our website, and you'll see last Sunday's sermon on the website, as well as all of our previous sermons. We also found on Facebook and on YouTube, for those of you that may have a mind to be so inclined to go to those particular sites. But I want to greet all of those who are viewing us right now on the World Wide Web. And I want to also greet you, my father's children. And let me just, in the form of advertising, let you know that today at 5 o'clock we'll be streaming, and we stream every Sunday at 5 o'clock on the GMAP network. All right? So you can let your friends know that every day at 5 o'clock, if you weren't able to make it here at 11 o'clock, every Sunday we're streaming live, or I should say streaming, on the GPAP network. That's what Pastor Kevin Straw. Amen?
Amen?
Amen, amen. Well, I don't want to prolong the time. I want to continue with my teaching. And last Sunday we talked about God's requirement for giving. Amen? And so today I want to give you, in the form of my theme for today, an example of tithing. An example of tithing. And I want you to know that as we were listening to the announcements today, and I get to look at all of the mail that comes in, and it just kind of got me for a minute that every envelope that I opened had something in it that cost money. There's one that I left down there, I didn't announce it for today, but it sent two tickets, and each one of those tickets was $100 a piece. And then there were other tickets that cost $30 a piece. Sister Connie and I went to a banquet Friday night. It cost $40 a piece. You know, was it $100? Oh, it was $140, pardon me. We were in the ag book too. So, but the thing is that, you know, everybody is trying to do what they can to raise money.
Amen.
Huh? And so, and it just seems that we need to go beyond just our churches to reach that money that we need. That's why, as an example, we have a budget on our website. We take Visa, MasterCard, whatever kind of card you've got. Amen? All you got to do is just hit that button right there and give us whatever you want. Amen? Whatever God put on your heart. Amen? But our topic for today, an example of tithing, you know, and I have discovered that people in general don't mind taking a little or taking a title, if you will, or belonging to some kind of a group. You know, and many of us in here belong to organizations and groups and things like that. And, you know, we don't mind being called by our title, president of this, and, you know, vice president of that, executive secretary, so on and so forth, you know, because, you know, of what that group can do for them. Huh? You see, those very same folk, though, however, sometimes have a tendency for not wanting to do what the title requires them to do. You hear what I'm saying? If you're the president, you ought to do whatever your job description says you're supposed to be doing. Right? You see, people may not want to be known as good, huh? These days, but don't want to do what it takes to be good, huh? Let me say that again for you. People may not want to be known as a good person, but they may not want to do what it takes to be good. Does anybody get that? Well, maybe not. Here's an example for you. There are many people who go to church, who attend church services on a weekly basis. And by virtue of the fact that they attend on a regular basis, they want to be known as a good person. You go to church every Sunday. You know, they got to be a good person. Huh? But some of these very same folk do not want to do all that is required to be a real Christian. One of the responsibilities of being a real Christian is supporting the ministry of God's church in a financial way. As part of our church covenant, which hangs right on the wall over there, one of the things that we agree or we covenant to do is to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry. The expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. The same thing happened last Sunday when I started talking about money. It got so quiet in here, you could hear a pin drop on the rug. You could hear the pin drop on the rug. I mean, it was something. So, and the only amen I got was from Minister Burnett. The one that I could hear. God have set up a systematic process by which to ensure that his church, not my church, not Burnett's church, not y'all's church, but God's church, is funded in a manner that is pleasing to him. That is by way of tithes and offerings. Some people feel the need to try to help God out by funding the church in other manners or in other ways, such as what I mentioned last week, having bingo games, chicken dinners and car washes, bake sales and things like that. But it's actually a way or an excuse for people to get around their biblical responsibility. Did y'all hear that? We grew up in our churches, right? We always had chicken dinners on sale. We always had car washes. You know, we always did all kinds of, I ain't never seen them play bingo in a black church, though. And I know they played in a Catholic church, but I never seen Baptists playing bingo. But the point is this, is that we have a biblical responsibility, and the chicken dinners and the bingo games is not a biblical way of funding God's church. See, having read the Bible and read through the Bible, I've still not come across any kind of an Old Testament bingo hall. I have still not found anything in the Old Testament about selling dinners or anything like that as a means of supporting God's church. In all honesty, my friends, God does not need us to fund his church. Did you know that? And I said it last week, and I wasn't being facetious. You know, if you're going to give your money in the church with an attitude, then my best suggestion for you to do is to keep your money. That way you'll feel better, and so will we. So God don't need us. We need him. He has given us certain responsibilities which help us in our obedience and our relationship to him. See, tithing in the church is at least two things. Let me show you what they are. It's a matter of faith, and it's a matter of heart. Y'all got them pencils working? Watch this. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith, and faith is the first thing, it is impossible to please God. See, you've got to have faith in God that he can and he will do whatever he promised us that he was going to do. And God is a God who cannot lie. We might think we're not lying and be lying and tell who knows what. But God is God. He cannot lie. Not only is he love, but he's also true. So that means that, as the scripture said, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently. Not just on Sunday. That diligently, not just on Monday if you're still fired up from Sunday, but every day, 24/7, 365, we got to be diligently seeking out the Lord. Second thing is this. When I said faith and also said heart, it's a heart issue because the Bible teaches us in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there also will your heart be also. If your heart is right with God, then your responsibility to God should be, or it will be, automatic. Huh? When you think about God, things should happen without you having to wonder. Well, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Huh? It should be automatic. Bingo. Some folks may say things like this. They may say, well, I want to tithe, Pastor, but I have too many bills to pay. Huh? So speaking from experience, and I got a witness in the house, although we dug ourselves into a hole, you know, that we found ourselves in, you know, God has the power to what? Get us out of that hole. Huh? See, if we do it His way. You know, we ain't figured out that our way ain't working yet, because we still keep trying to do the same old thing and we still get the same old results.
Right.
Nothing. Huh? Some people might say this. They might say things like this. Well, I want to tithe, but I'm not sure what the church is going to do with the money. Well, dare I repeat myself. Y'all heard what I said last week. If it's a problem, then maybe you should keep your money. Huh? I'll sleep better tonight and so will you. Huh? Listen, and I don't want to just keep harping on this, but God's grace and mercy is so good, it's so vast, it's so wonderful, you know, that you can't ignore it. We sit in a building now that the refurbishing on the outside, if we had to pay for it ourselves, it would cost us $118,000. We didn't pay a dime. And it wasn't no rent. You see, you got to ask yourself this question. Am I being obedient to the church, or am I being obedient to the Lord? Which one is it? Huh? And if your answer is that you want to be obedient to the Lord, then you got to give according to God's direction. Huh? You see, and if you do according to God's direction, you know, and He will take care of the church. Huh? And if the church is not doing right with the money, He going to take care of that too. God got a way of fixing things. Right? He don't need you to jump in there and fix things. Right? He don't need you to come to church meetings and holler and scream and talk all kind of, you know, wild and crazy. Pray. Let the Lord have it. I guarantee you He'll fix it. You do your part, God will do His part. That's all it is. Huh? You see, some people might say stuff like this. Look, I have faith in God. We all have faith in God this morning, right? Huh? That's something I tried to talk to the young man about when I was teaching Sunday school this morning. We got to have faith in God, right? We never met Him, but we know He's there. Huh? So we got to have faith in God. So I would like for you to think about this. Consider this. If we have faith in God, my brothers and my sisters, and our hearts are right with God, then there should be no buts, huh? Except the ones that they put there, huh? No buts, no ifs, no ands, no buts. When it's time for tithes and offering, you should already have it figured out last night before you went to bed. Just what God gonna get tomorrow, huh? God sees all things, He hears all things, and He knows all things, and Lord have mercy, He's gonna judge all things. So the question here, my brothers and my sisters, is how do you want to be judged by God on that great judgment day? And yes, we're going to have a judgment day. I'm sure we all want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Huh? We want to hear Him say, come on up a little higher. You've been faithful over a few things, now I'm going to make you ruler over many. We all want to hear that. Matter of fact, Abraham was found faithful in the sight of God and was blessed as a result of his faithfulness. He set us a good example of tithing for God. Listen, in our text today, pardon me, is found in the book of Genesis. This book, as I had indicated, is known as the Book of Beginnings. This book is known as the Book of Beginnings because many things that have come to pass over the ages have their beginnings in the book of Genesis. Huh? Is anybody with me?
Here are a few examples of beginnings in the book of Genesis. Now you can jot these down if you so desire. But the beginning of lies started in the book of Genesis. Remember the serpent and Eve? Now, we don't want to get into that no more. But the beginning of sin in the world, Adam's disobedience. The beginning of family troubles, Cain and Abel. The beginning of death. The beginning of generational curses, Abraham and Isaac. Our selected text here today deals with Abraham, the servant of God, and who also is called the father of faith. Abraham had just won a great battle in which he was able to retrieve his nephew Lot and all of his possessions, and now wanted to give an offering to God through the king of Salem. Listen, look at verse 16. You got your Bibles open still? Look at verse 16. The text here tells us that Abraham brought back all the goods, the spoils of war, that which added to his personal portfolio. So the question is asked, should I tithe on my neck or my gross? For those of you that still work and you get them checks to us from work, you got a neck and you got a gross, right? So the question, should I tithe on my neck or my gross? Well, one preacher answered the question by saying, it would be gross if for you to tithe on your neck. That's confusing. So the understanding here is that the gross is your actual increase. And your neck is your income after deductions, taxes and all that other stuff. Abraham here brought it all back. And we'll see later in the text that he did something with it. And the Bible will teach us here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9. It says to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. Listen, when we honor God, he in turn blesses us, because verse 10 tells us that so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presence shall burst out with new wine. That's a positive from the Bible. If you do what the Lord say do, you can plan on your barn being filled up. You can plan on your cup running over. So again, in this text, we can see that meeting the conditions of God will open up to you the blessings of God. So we must be careful as to how we honor God. Some people take God for granted, and God is, all this stuff is being documented in that great Lamb book of life. And one of these days that great book is going to be open, and whatever you and me did, when they call my name, there it is. And some of us going to have one page, and some of us going to have 100 pages. Lord have mercy. The Bible tells us the story of Cain and Abel. You all remember Cain and Abel, And how they brought an offering to the Lord. In Genesis, the 4th chapter, there you'll find that story. Cain brought an offering of the first of the ground to the Lord. And Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and fat to God. But the problem is that Cain's offering was brought with the wrong attitude. So attitude didn't start here, it started in Genesis. The first one to cop attitude. But God had respect for Abel's offering because he did it the right way. This brings up a situation that happens in the church on a regular basis. And that is what? It's the people doing the right thing the wrong way. Doing the right thing the wrong way. You see, they understand they are required to do so, but their heart is not in it. Sometimes we just have a tendency to go through the motions. You see, so as it pertains to giving in the house of the Lord, the Bible reminds us in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, what does it say? It says that every man according as he has purposed in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God what? Love it. A cheerful giver. Huh? You see, we are to give of our increase, but we are to do so in the right spirit and from the heart. Remember what the Bible says, my brothers and my sisters, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Huh? Look at verses 18 and 19. You see, Abraham gave to God's representative. So this brings up a great truth, because we must understand who the tithe belongs to. The Bible teaches us in Leviticus 27 and 30, and all the tithes of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Huh? First of all, we see that we don't have the right or the authority to decide where the tithe is supposed to go. Everybody want to go to heaven, but don't nobody want to die. Right? See, we are supposed to be obedient to what God is saying. You know, but we all have a tendency to want to inject our own ideas, especially when our own ideas are like having dead-end streets in our head. Huh? You see, but we do have the responsibility, my friend, to be obedient and to take it where he has designated the tithes to go. So we think it ought to go over here, but if God says it goes over there, then our responsibility is to do what the Lord said to do. I hear you, brother. You see, Abraham brought his giving to Melchizedek, king of Salem, the high and high priest of what? The Most High God. Now, Herbert Lockyer, in his book, All the Men of the Bible, and you brothers remember, I pointed it out, we got a set of them downstairs, and I said that we were going to talk about that, but in his book, All Men of the Bible, and it sheds light on who is Melchizedek. He's always been a man of mystery, you know, and concern, because nobody really knew who he was. But Herbert Lockyer writes, although a mysterious figure, Melchizedek is yet a figure of great importance. Huh? His biography is short. He comes before us in history in Genesis chapter 14. Then he comes back to us in prophecy in Psalm number 110. Then he comes to us in doctrine in Hebrews chapter 7. And he prefigures Christ's priesthood. He is king of righteousness and king of peace, cause and effect. Huh? So Christ alone can bring us peace, since he is our righteousness, is what Isaiah 32 and 17 said. And in a book consisting of genealogies, my brothers and my sisters, Melchizedek has no record of a father. He's got no record of a mother. He don't have a birth certificate or death certificate. Such silence is part of the divine plan to make him typify more strikingly here the mystery of Christ's birth and the eternity of his priesthood. Herbert Lockyer writes a little further. He says the priesthood of this mysterious man was not based on what he was or on any inherent right. Christ was without a father on this earth, as is to his humanity, and without a mother as to his deity. So in other words, he had a heavenly father and an earthly mother. Huh? So he is the only begotten son of the Father and without pedigree as to his priesthood. So the greatness of Melchizedek in our text today is seen in that Abraham gave him tithes and blessed him. Yes. See, Christ being greater deserves and demands our all. Yeah. Huh? God gave his best. Why can't we give our best? Huh? Why can't we do that? Huh? And so Abraham recognized the greatness here, and so we must recognize the greatness of our God, right? Abraham brought his tithe to the high priest, so we must bring our tithe to God's storehouse. Malachi 3 and 9, a very familiar passage of scripture says, bring ye all the tithes unto or into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. See, so we got to give to God and we let him work out the details. Huh? We can't tie to God with stipulations, not with strings attached. Huh? Because this ain't McDonald's. God, you know, he got a blessing for you, but you ain't gonna get no change back. You know, this is what I, no, you give it to God, let him work it out. See, and when he opened up his blessing book, if your name is there, and it's your turn to be blessed, you can guarantee it. It's on the way. Thirdly, my third point, look at verse number 20 with me. He gave God a tithe. In verse 20, we have the first recorded instance of tithing in the whole scripture. All right, remember Genesis, the book of beginning, the book of first thing. Cain and Abel gave an offering to God, did he not? But Abraham gave God a tithe, a tenth of all his increase. So you remember last week when I said that God in the Old Testament, even now, only requires 10%, a dime out of every dollar. All right? And if you don't want to give God a dime out of the dollar that you have, does that mean that God ain't worth a dime to you? Huh? So just keep that in mind. See, just as the father of faith has done so, and that's Abraham, we must also give a tithe to God. Huh? So before Abraham gave his tithe, Melchizedek praised God for Abraham because it was God that enabled Abraham to defeat his enemy. See, and whenever you read about battles in the Bible, God is always in the midst of the battle. Huh? You remember when the Israelites was fighting the Chaldeans and all those folks, and Moses was up on top of the hill, and as long as he kept his arms up, the Israelites was victorious. But when Moses started getting tired, the Israelites would start losing the battle. Huh? Then he had two of the brothers go up there, and they got a rock and made him a chair to sit on, and one got on one side and the other got on the other side, and they propped him up. Huh? And as long as he stayed propped up, they kept on winning. You see, that's what I'm talking about. You see, in verse 19, he called God the possessor of heaven and earth. And what that tells us is that his sovereignty and rightful ownership all belongs to God. When you say mine, what you mean mine? Ain't none of it yours. It all belonged to God. It all come from God. Huh? If it wasn't for him, you might have slept outdoors last night. Huh? Think about that one. Huh? Now, in verse 20, he calls God the Most High God. So that title itself signifies that he is the King of Kings. Am I right? And Lord of Lords. So Melchizedek praised Abraham, praised God for Abraham. And so we must also praise God and his great and mighty name. Huh? And by praising God, we can praise him in many ways. And one of the ways that we're talking about here today is tithes and offerings. Am I right? Amen. Sure, you're right. So listen, my friends, I'm about ready to quit now. And hopefully somebody have received some edification here today, because we want to do better in the future than we've done in the past. Yeah. Am I right? Huh? And the only way we're going to do it is we just got to get moving. Huh? We got to find out what do the roadmap say about which way we're supposed to go. Huh? This is God's GPS. Brief instructions before leaving Earth. Am I right? Huh? So if you're confused about your direction, you got to turn your GPS on, huh? Huh? That's right, you got to find out what it say, huh? And I tell you what, I'd be done fell out if I hear that voice like on my GPS. Put your tithes in them. Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy, thank you.